Psalm 138 in your Bibles. We're looking at the subject of revival last Sunday. The week before that, we had two evangelists preach, and I was a little surprised neither one of them mentioned the subject of revival. We had Brother Alton Beal preach back in Thanksgiving and had the ensemble of 20 people total, I think, sing for us from Ambassador Baptist College. And the messages were wonderful that all of these people preached, but they really didn't focus on revival. And I felt that I wanted to do that. We looked last week that revival will renew our devotion to the Lord. Revival will help us redefine our goals of how we spend our time. Revival will restore loyalty in a marriage, in the church fellowship, to the things that are right to do. Revival will recover a passion for God and the things that are spiritual in our lives. It will reunite homes and marriages. It'll remove indifference from our lives. We can get a little apathetic and indifferent because we have a routine. We come to church at the same time. We sing the same type songs, and we listen to the same preacher, and we hear the Bible, and we're so busy in life. If we aren't careful, it'll become a routine to us, and we can become a little indifferent and apathetic to what's going on in the world. Revival will relight fires of evangelism so that we reach out to the lost to help them to be saved. It'll remind us that hell is real and people are going there, and that we need to do what we can do to keep that from happening. God has graciously allowed us to be a part of His plan of evangelism and redeeming the lost as we are His ambassadors to represent Him to the world. It'll return us to our first love. In the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus was told they had left their first love. They were busy. They were doing many things. They were praised for all the work that they were doing and for their patience, but they had left their first love, and it's important that we return to that. It'll reverse decline in a church. When a church has stopped growing and stopped reaching out in ministry to the community around it, revival will change that because we'll begin to be witnesses that we should be wherever we go. It'll restore influence. Sin will cause us to lose influence with other people. But God can change that and restore our influence as a Christian to speak to people about the Bible and to share with them the ways of God. David said, "Lord, cleanse me of all my sin and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then shall I teach transgressors thy ways. And then shall men be converted unto thee." Revival brings a new enthusiasm. It restores the power that we have lost, the power of God. It'll create a zeal for the Lord. It'll help our desire to be a new desire of closeness to God. It'll bring joy and peace that we have allowed to get slack in our life, and it'll remind us of our purpose as a Christian in serving the Lord. Israel was in captivity, we saw last week, and they hung their harps in the willow trees. And their captor said, "Sing us some of the songs of Zion." And they said, "How can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land?" They had lost their freedom, and they lost their joy, and they lost their hope. Their temple had been destroyed. Their homes had been destroyed. The wall around their city had been torn down. And they were taken to Babylon as captives. And it was hard for them to be excited to sing praises unto God when they were going through the circumstance they were going through. And you go through circumstance, you might be right now, or you have been in the past, or you will be in the future, in some circumstance that if you aren't careful, it will rob you of the joy of the Lord. And it will cause you not to sing praise to God and not to have peace. And you will wonder what has happened and where God is and why your prayers are not getting through. Revival will change all of that. Psalm 138, I want to begin reading with verse number 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let's pray. Father, we pray for Brother Bob Reed this morning. I understand he's not feeling well, and for Linda Brooks for the same. We ask that you'll help them and meet their needs physically. And Lord, give them the protection they need and guide their day, we pray. Bless Brother Bob as he's coming home tomorrow. We pray for safety in that return. And Lord, for folks facing surgeries and those who've just buried their loved ones, that we can't even imagine the needs they may have right now. But you know, and we pray to you, and we mention these unto you, and we lift them up, and we pray for thy help and thy healing and for your blessing. Now we ask you to bless the message here today about revival, Father. I need it more than anyone here, and I pray that you will bring that, a fresh breath of God upon me and upon this church, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We believe God revives those who seek Him with all their heart, who are willing to confess their need, their sins, their faults, and their failures. We acknowledge to God that we need Him, and we need His help, and we need Him to do the things that we cannot do. We are supposed to do the things that we can do. But God can do the things we cannot do. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he could very easily have just said, stone be rolled away, or he could have sent angels to roll the stone away. But he said to the people, roll the stone away. That was what they could do. And they did that. And then Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth from the dead, even though he had been dead for 4 days, and was restored to life. You see, God can do anything, but God won't do for you what you're supposed to do for yourself. It's like God and the farmer. The farmer has to plow the land and plant the seed and do the work, and only God can make it grow and give him a good harvest. But God won't plant the seeds for the farmer, and the farmer has to do his part and then pray and seek the face of God to have a good blessing on his crops. And that's how it works with us as well. We're supposed to do what we can do. We're being faithful in church. We're praying. We're seeking the Lord. We're asking God for his help. We're trying to be obedient unto him in all of our areas of being a witness, of giving our money to supporting missions, to doing the work of the ministry. And we're seeking to be evangelistic to the community around us and around the world. And it's important that we do what we're supposed to do. But there's a greater need than that. And only God can do some of those things that need to be done. And so we seek His face today because revival is personal. Today we're looking in Psalm 138 and verse number 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. The who of revival. Me. Gypsy Smith said, draw a circle and get in the circle and pray God will revive everybody in that circle. Because it's the old song, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And we're in the need of revival. God revives those who profess true practical faith, and we demonstrate it in our lives and our conduct. Revival is personal. Revival's purposeful. It has a reason, it has a purpose, it has a result. It is powerful. When people are really spiritual and excited about the things of God, it spreads like fire. It causes other people to get encouraged and to get their focus back on God and get into the Word and to have what other people have. I remember in Springfield, Missouri, the church we went to when we were in Bible college out there, there was had about 1,500 in Sunday school every Sunday morning, and I taught about 70 junior high kids and had four teachers that sometimes I'd break it up and have the women teach the girls and boy and the boys in the boys' class with a man and divide the 7th and 8th grade and all that. But most of the time I put them all together and I just basically preached a sermon to them because they'd been real slack for a long time and they needed it a whole lot. Y'all know what I mean? And I had them sit together in the church and I got them to, I'd tap on them, you know, and be quiet, listen to the preacher, you know. And boy, people started telling me, man, you've really changed that youth department. That is so good because they used to be so rowdy during church and not pay attention and all that kind of thing. It wasn't the kids, it was their leaders. And I had no special abilities or anything of that nature. But I just tried to do what was right. And the results of it was people could see a change. And you know, when you draw close to God and you get excited about the things of God, people see the change in your life. And it begins to affect other people. David told me when he changed schools when he was a young man. He went to several schools when he was a young man. And his parents saw a sign about a brand new independent Baptist church opening up a Christian school. And they came home and said, David, we signed you up. You're going to that school. And David didn't get saved for a while until he got the testimony of Pistol Pete Maravich, the basketball player. But he began to change his attitude and the ways he did things because of the environment that he was in. In the Christian school, they were a little stricter, and the kids behaved, and things were a little different, and that had an influence on him. And God used that he was able to go to a special meeting and hear somebody share their testimony about Christ, and it changed his life. And God does that all the time. He uses us to affect other people. And so it's vital that we are walking with the Lord and ready to be one who can be used for God. As Ron said, here am I, Lord, send me. God revives people who will seek him in his word. Elijah had an amazing effect with God, power to call down fire from heaven, power to call for God to stop the rain for 3.5 years that would humble Israel. Elijah didn't invent that. Elijah read the Word of God, and God's Word said, if Israel worships idols, I will withhold the rain. And so Elijah got hold to the Word of God that God would withhold the rain because Israel was worshiping idols. And so for 3.5 years, they had a drought. Now, Elijah had to be willing to pay a price for that prayer. He had to go down and live by a brook and drink water out of the brook, and God sent ravens to drop him food, pieces of meat, and that's what he ate, and then one day the brook dried up. Be real easy to say, Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do, and I've lived off this raven's meat and water from this brook, and now there's nothing, But we don't find anything like that. God said to him, go down to a widow in Zarephath and she'll take care of you. And when he got to the widow, she didn't have enough meal and enough oil to do anything but make one little old cake of cornbread. That's my translation. And feed her child and her, and they were going to die. They're gathering a couple of sticks together to make a little fire. Elijah said, we'll do that first, but first bring me a little cake. And so when she dipped that cup down in the barrel to get that last of the meal and went to the cruise to get the last of the oil, there was enough for him and enough for her. And the next day there was enough, and the next day there was enough, and the next day there was enough. Throughout the entire drought, the rest of the time, God provided for that Gentile widow of Zarephath and the prophet of God who was there. And when her son fell sick while the prophet was there, God used him to raise him up to perfect health again. God will use you. But if you pray for revival and you really want revival and you seek God to bring revival for our nation and for our church and for our area right here, there's a price that we will have to pay. Elijah had to pay a price The queen wanted to kill him because of the drought. The king wanted to kill him because of the drought. He understood the price involved with seeking the face of God. And we're looking at the who of revival. In Elijah's case, it started with him. In our case, it needs to start with us. The psalmist said, "The Lord will revive me." If the Lord allows, I want to bring another message on the why of revival from Psalm 85. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" The why of revival, that we might rejoice in the Lord. And then thirdly, the when of revival in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2. "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy." The when of revival. Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Now today we're looking at the who of revival, and the who of revival is us. It's me. Lord, revive me. In the midst of trouble, when troubles and trials and problems come, that's when we most readily seek God. That's when we most readily look in the mirror and say, "Am I doing something wrong? Am I hindering something? Am I holding on to something that I need to get out of my life that is causing me to be in this trouble and this trial and this chastening," or whatever it may be? There are three passages in the Old Testament that we see these subjects of revival. Today we look at the who. We walk in the midst of trouble. David faced trouble all his life. He was the king of Israel. He was the king that was after God's own heart. He was the most beloved king of the nation of Israel. He's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ called himself the son of David and the son of Abraham. And he faced trouble and trial and difficulties. We all face things like that. Like Jimmy Clark said in his message 2 weeks ago, that we face trials that we need to give God thanks for, because God's using them in our life to draw us closer to Him and to teach us patience and to make us usable for His honor and glory. God uses trials for the closeness that we have. If we confess our sins, so there's nothing that hinders our prayer life, so that we can get hold of God, because iniquity separates between us and God. We seek revival that we might have a renewed strength spiritually. The kind of strength we talked about in Ephesians, where we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs because we're filled with the Spirit. And then he begins to deal with the husband and wife relationship. And in our marriages and our homes and raising our children, we need the filling of the Spirit. We need the power of God. We need the wisdom of God to know what to do and not to do, and what to allow and not to allow as we raise our children. We will often feel unworthy. But David reminds us of the mercy and the forgiveness of God. He reminds us in verse number 8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." God, you started a work in me the day that you saved me, and you started even before that in wooing me unto you by your Spirit. And I came to Christ and believed on Him, and you changed my life. Now, God, finish in me the work that you began. Don't leave me hanging here, Lord. I need your power. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your help. And revival will bring those things. We began with God in verse 1 and 2. The psalmist gave praise and worship unto God. And it's with our whole heart that we begin to sing praise to God when we're rejoicing, when we're stirred spiritually, that we're so thankful for what God has done, and we've seen answered prayer, and we rejoice in what the Lord is doing in our lives. We praise God's name for His loving kindness unto us. We praise Him for His truth. The psalmist said, "In the day when I cried, thou answerest me. and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. He said, kings will praise you when they hear the words of thy mouth. They will sing, for great is God's glory. The Lord is high, and yet he hath respect to the lowly. Who am I to pray to God? I am a child of God, and I have access to call upon him as my Father. Not because of my goodness and not because of the deeds I've done, but because of the loving mercy of God that he would save me and take me into his family. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent to give deliverance to the captives. Christ came to the lowly. He came to those in need. He said, those that are well don't need a physician. I'm the physician that's come to bring healing to those who need it. So do you stand in need today of something from God? You can seek a reviving in your spirit, a new liveliness that can come from the Lord because there's a crisis, because there's a need, because you see that you need that from God. That's the who of revival. It's you and me. It was the psalmist who was in need. Christ set aside his glory and took on flesh. The Bible says in Hebrews he was made a little lower than the angels for the tasting of death for all men. Angels are eternal beings. They don't die. Christ is superior to angels. They worship him. But he laid aside his glory to take on flesh to become a man. Because it wasn't God that sinned. God didn't need to die for sin. It was man that sinned. So a perfect man had to die for man to pay for our sins. And Christ willingly took on flesh to become a man, to die for us, to taste death for every man. Look over in your Bible at Psalm 138 and verse number 7. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. We live in a troubled world. Galatians 1:4 says, Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world. So the world is against us as Christians. It has trouble for us, traps for us, temptations for us. It is working against the things of God. And we are to live for the Lord in this world, though all those things are happening all around us every day. Are you in any trouble? Is there a crisis going on in your life? Is there a trial happening with you or your family right now that you need the hand of God? Is life beating you down? Are you feeling overwhelmed? The psalmist said, when I get to that place, the Lord will revive me. And I believe that is just as applicable today as it was when it was penned in that day, that God can revive his people. You and I are the who of revival. God will overthrow the wrath of our enemies with his strong right hand. He will save us. We need to just reach up and take his hand because he's already reached down for us. And he can deliver us. He can take us out of our trials. In Psalm 136, if you have your Bible open there in verse 11, speaking of the nation of Israel, he said, he brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endured forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. God brought Israel out of Egypt with a strong hand and a stretched out arm. And he protected them and drew them to the place of safety. In Psalm 143, if you turn over a page, and verse 3, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground, he hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I love this. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. In verse 7 through 12, he questions in prayer, "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord." That means to bring to life. That means to revive. "Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." You face the enemies of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the world, and Satan. Those are enemies that we face. And they get the victory over us sometimes, and we get defeated, and we get into trouble, and we get into crisis, and we get into traps. And the Lord said, "Call unto me, and come to me." The psalmist said, "Lord, thou wilt revive me." The psalmist said that he stretched forth his hands to the Lord, that he was thirsty for God like a person who's thirsty for water. In Psalm 139 and verse 1 through 4, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I flee, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." The psalmist often used what are called anthropomorphic terms. He ascribed God as having eyes to see and hands to hold and a hand to deliver. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and truth. But Christ took on flesh, and the hands and the eyes and the heart and all of those things, he identifies with us, and he is able to deliver us and save us. We can't get away if we are truly saved. No matter what we go through or where we are, he can protect us and defend us and supply our needs. Back in the third psalm, Psalm 3, verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me." Friend, you're in trouble and crisis. It's hard to sleep sometimes. Your mind is going over and over on the things, the trouble, the trial, the problem. What could I do? What should I have done? I'm beating myself up because I didn't do this or I didn't do that or I didn't handle it right or whatever it may be. Listen, go to sleep. God is awake. You need someone to protect you and defend you. Go to sleep. God's on watch. And he's up there all the time looking over us. "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies. Upon the cheekbone thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He can grant us the peace we need and the power we need. And God will grant us the protection that we need. He will awake because he sustains us. because we are the me of revival that stand in need and call upon Him as His children. We don't have to fear even 10,000s of people that would gather against us. That's not arrogance, that's a fact of the Scripture. Like Elisha and his servant. Elijah was the first prophet, Elisha was his servant. And Elisha prayed for a double portion of the Spirit to be upon him. The Spirit is a person, you don't get more of the Spirit gets more of you. But Elisha had twice as many miracles recorded as Elijah had had. I assume that is the fulfillment of that promise of a double portion. Elisha faced the enemies of God, Assyrians and Syria, and these people came against Israel, and they're still coming against them today. And Elisha's servant's name was Gehaziah. And he said, "Master, what shall we do? Look at all these armies and all these enemies coming against us. What shall we do?" Elisha, who had vision that the servant didn't have, wasn't worried a bit. He said, "Lord, open his eyes." And he looked, and all encamped around them were angelic angels of fire and chariots of fire. And he said, "What do you see now?" He said, "There's more that are for us than there are that are against us." Remember that when a dark day comes. Remember that when a crisis comes. God is for you. He is greater than anything you face or any problem that you're going to go through. You may consider yourself at times the least of God's servants, or as Paul did, the chiefest of sinners. But if you're saved, you're God's servant, you're God's child, and you're under His hand of protection. He can lift you up in a time of trouble, and He can reach down and lift you out of the circumstance you're going through, or He can be with you while you go through it to give you the grace that you need. There's some trials He delivers us from, but some trials He delivers us through. He'll quicken you. He'll revive you. "Thou wilt revive me, though I walk in the midst of trouble. You stretch forth your hand against mine enemies." God will protect His people. So let's seek Him today. Let's be the who of revival. God, revive me, that I might do what I'm supposed to do for you and accomplish the work that you have for me to do. Paul could come to the end of his life and say, "I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love His appearing." Do you love the Lord today? Are you looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ? God wants to give you a crown, and it's not just for the apostles. It's for all those that love His appearing. Let's stand together. Lord, we need Thee every hour. And in the time of crisis and trial and trouble, we need Thee in a greater way. We need Your power. We need Your sustaining. We need Your strength. We ask You to bless us with that, and we pray in Jesus' name.